Do you know the gospel? I want to test you real quick. Do you know the gospel
honestly,
of Jesus Christ?
So, are you talking about his Sermon on the Mount?
No, just like if someone asked you, how do I find eternal life? I want eternal life. How do I get there? What would you say?
You need to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again after 3 days, and after 40 days ascended into heaven.
Okay.
Sit at the right hand of the Father.
Is that all we need to do?
Yeah, you need to believe in Jesus Christ.
Just only believe.
Well, I would hope that you would be a better person, but just because you're not doesn't mean Jesus didn't die for you.
Well, Jesus' first ministry words were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We have to lose our life. We have to turn from our sin. So you got the first part correct, faith in what the Lord did. He came down, lived a perfect life, was the blameless, spotless, perfect Lamb of God, as John the Baptist said. He paid the way for us, shed his blood. We in no way could work our way to heaven, for all have sinned. But in order to apply that to our life, we can't just raise our hand, accept him as our Lord and Savior, because even the demons believe and tremble. We have to believe that the Lord is the Lord. His word is the word of God. He was the word of God made flesh, John 1. And when we believe that, we'll repent and come out of the world, because Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world."
Correct.
So we have to come out of Satan's culture, and we have some examples of Satan's culture on that card, but you can also find a lot on the website. Sports, politics, entertainment, Netflix, movies, pride, vanity, fashion. You have to come out of all that because that's Satan's culture. He's designed it.
100% it is.
So we have to repent of all that. We have to leave the world. Your family might hate you. Your friends might hate you. Jesus said your enemies will be they of your own household. You have to lose your life. And when you're willing to do that, the Lord sees a willing vessel. And you didn't say this. John 3, Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Ye must be born again by the Spirit of God. You have to walk in holiness and obedience to the Word of God as fruit that you're born from above, born again. Coming out of the world, being holy and separate, because how will people see the testimony of Christ if we're not holy and separate and set apart from the world? That's a good question to ask.
Yeah.
So we have to be holy and separate and set apart, and we have to endure in that until the end. And in Revelation, it's a beautiful verse. It says, "They loved not their lives unto the death." I don't love my life. I lost everything here that's temporary. I lost my friends, my family. I preached the gospel to them. They didn't want to hear it. I lost my career. I used to be an artist. I lost that. I lost my place of living. I'm actually from Wisconsin. I'm actually a traveling preacher now with my brothers and sisters. I work half the year, pay my way. But I lost everything for Christ, best decision of my life.
Yeah.
But you do have to come out of the world and you have to endure, because Jesus said it's a very narrow path. Only those who endure to the end shall be saved. Right?
So I know that it's a very sinful world.
Yeah.
But no one can be perfect, because the only perfect person that's ever been on this earth was Jesus Christ, right?
But we're charged to avoid all appearance of evil, right? In 1 Thessalonians.
Okay.
We're charged to keep ourselves from any appearance of evil. If you're uniting to this, you have the appearance of evil. If you're dressing like the world, you have the appearance of evil. Did you know it's actually a command in, I believe, 1 Corinthians that men, when they're prophesying the word of God, are supposed to have their head uncovered to honor their head, which is Christ. That's a commandment in Scripture. I care enough about you to tell you that you should remove your hat when talking about the things of God, because that's a commandment. So these small things, a lot of people say these are small things, but did you know that one willful sin will keep you out of the kingdom of God, Hebrews 10:26, as well as Revelation 22:15, if you love or make one lie, you won't enter into the kingdom of God.
So even if you repent and seek forgiveness from Jesus Christ?
If you repent, you stop doing it. You don't just feel sorry for it. You turn from it. You stop doing it. You strive against it. You may stumble into it somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
But you're stopping. It's a heart change. And the Lord sees your heart. Are you willing to stop doing it? Are you fighting against it? You know, that kind of a thing. If you're not fighting against it, you're willfully doing it. And if you stand before the judgment seat and the Lord sees you're holding on to sin or holding on to this temporary world, Satan's kingdom, and you haven't lost your life, he's going to say, "Why didn't you lose your life? I promised to provide everything for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I promised to provide for you. You're just supposed to lose your life. Why didn't you do it?" And you'll have to explain to him that I loved my sin more than I loved you, and you'll be cast into the lake of fire. So it's a very narrow path, because it's a very simple path, because Jesus said, "Lose your life." It's simple. But it's very hard to do. Losing your life, losing your family, losing your friends, maybe losing your children down the line because they have to make the choice for themselves.
Yeah.
It's a very hard path. Very few are willing to make it. But if you hear the words of God today, you have hope, because my sheep hear my voice. So I encourage you to go deeper.
Okay.
I encourage you to reach out on the website. We'd love to Bible study with you. We'd love to help you. We want the kingdom of God to be more full, because we know how few people. We go all over the place. We preach all over the place. Very few people have ears to hear. Very few people want to talk about the Word of God.
Of course.
But you can't
even
throw
it. Even at any capacity, people are very shy about it.
Right.
I lost it when I was partying in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, I get married and I came back to it. And I've always known it, you know, in the back of my head. But since having a little one, I've gotten a lot better and it started reading the Bible about it.
Right.
And it's crazy how much people don't even want to talk about it.
Right. It's not enough to just read the Bible, because I was a professing Christian for probably about 25 years of my life. I'm 26 right now.
What does that mean, professing?
Professing Christian means I profess Jesus Christ. I said, I'm a Christian, but I wasn't living like a Christian. So I went to college. I lived like the world. I was a worldly, prideful young man. I had to lose my life. And when I said, Lord, I don't want anything in this world. I'm going to lose my life. Drop my nets like the disciples did and followed after Christ. He gave me his Holy Spirit. He gave me peace and joy. I'm a testament of that. Satan hates the true testimony of Christians, because I'm a testimony that Christ will give you peace and joy, that he'll provide you everything you need if you drop your nets and leave the world. So I encourage you, don't just read the Bible, study it and obey it. Because Jesus made the way of eternal life for those who obey him, Hebrews 5:9. So make sure you're in the truth, in the ark of Jesus Christ. The only way you get in is by obeying, walking in the light. Then he cleanses you of sin, because he won't cleanse you from any sin you don't forsake. Why would he cleanse you of a sin that you're still holding on to?
Yeah.
You know, that's what you got to ask yourself. If you're holding on to worldliness, your flesh, your pleasure, you haven't crucified it, you're going to be standing before a righteous judge, and a righteous judge will say, you still held on to it. I don't care what's in your heart. Your outside would show what's in your heart, right?
Yeah.
So go deeper. We'd love to help you. What's your name?
Doug.
Doug? My birth name was Colin, but my brothers and sisters gave me a name, Akuo, which means to hear in the Greek, because I had ears to hear. I actually heard a street preacher at a festival I was at preaching the gospel, and I tested everything to the Word of God, and I said, he's preaching the truth. And I found that Christ was calling me out of the world, because if you read through the scriptures, you'll find that Christ is a God of obedience. He requires obedience. There wouldn't be so many warnings of falling away if you couldn't fall away, and it just goes on and on. So I encourage you to go deeper.
Yeah. Well, dude, man, I'm currently in a 9-month Bible study, as well as seeing how to stop my hurt habits and hang-ups through the teachings of Jesus.
Well,
so
hey.
Because I've overcame many drug addictions.
Okay.
Through Christian counseling.
That's awesome.
Gave up marijuana.
Great.
I was addicted to pills.
Great.
And now I'm just trying to, you know, get rid of just hurts and habits from the past.
Right.
So I have a better role model for this.
Right. And I mean, my admonition to you would be, Jesus Christ said, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the only way we get that rest is if we're willing to forsake our sin. Because if we're still holding on to the baggage of our sin and worldliness and our flesh, we're never going to have rest. I mean, the Word of God says, there is no rest, there is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. So if you're not willing to give up your sin, give up your worldliness, come out of the world. That includes man-made traditions like churches, church buildings, pastors and pulpits. That's all man-made traditions. It voids your worship of God, Mark 7. If you're not willing to come out of that, you won't find the peace in Jesus Christ, because he gives that peace to those who obey him.
So you're saying I don't get the peace of Jesus Christ because I go to a church?
Was that church founded by man or by God? Because Jesus Christ set up his church in the first century. He said, ye are living stones. I'm the temple of Christ. I'm the body of Christ, because the Holy Spirit lives within me. He brings into remembrance all words.
So how do you know if a church is of God or of man?
Well, we can test everything to the Word of God. The Word of God says prove all things. And we can test a church building to see if it's of God, because Jesus Christ requires that we worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. Now, are the ordinances of the church which you go to, let's say like a Sunday worship,
yeah,
a building-centered system, 1 hour organized, I guess, planned out services, not spirit-led services, one man doing all the teaching. You can compare all of this to the Word of God and how He set up His church in the New Testament. If it's outside of that, it's a lie. It's not in the truth. It'll damn your soul, because if you love or make one lie, Revelation 22:15, you're not going to enter in. So you have to test these things to the Word of God. We have a 10-point test on that website.
Yeah.
Test it to the Word of God. Make sure you're in the truth, because it's your soul that's at stake. What does it profit if you have fellowship with a worldly church and you lose your soul?
How to be a worldly church if they're sinning? Like a lot of the churches that have gay priests.
Well, yeah. I mean, the sin could be...
Which we obviously 100% don't, but...
Right. A sin would be as small as, let's say a pastor that's paid to do an oration for an hour. Is there... Like an oration is just like giving a sermon for an hour, that kind of a thing. Is there any example of that in the New Testament? Is that how the Lord set up His body? No. He set up His body to have multiple elders, and everyone is allowed to give what they have to bring to the body during the service, and it's spirit-led. It could go as long as 3-4 hours. It could go as short as a half an hour, but it's spirit-led, whatever the Holy Spirit brings.
You don't find it to be okay that someone can have notes to get started and then talk of what?
Oh yeah, you can have notes, but it's this whole system of the pastor is the only one speaking, everyone's pew sitting, listening to it. That's not in the scriptures, and you can test that to the scriptures. I encourage you, go on that website, test it to the scriptures, because anything outside of the scriptures, the Word of God, is a lie. It'll damn your soul. You have to follow after Christ in spirit and truth.
Another point you had said with the preacher,
yeah,
or pastor, whatever you want to call it, that takes money for doing it,
yeah,
how does he provide for his household? What is the 1/10 tithe to your local church for?
Well, we're not charged to give tithes in the New Testament, but what the money was used for in the New Testament, if you study it out, was providing money for people to go and preach the gospel, providing for widows and orphans, and providing for those that are like needy in the church.
Like our food pantry?
Yeah, food pantry could be something, but that's what it was used for. I forget your question. What was your question? I'm sorry.
No worries. You had said something about the preacher, how it wasn't right, or however you said it, for them to be able to take money to get up there. Because I know one-tenth that we give,
right,
whatever it is, whatever tithe that we give to the church, obviously pays the very to this world standard,
right,
low salary, but then it also pays for our children's ministry, our food pantry,
right,
the 140 families that we feed.
Okay.
So how would that not be?
Well, I would say if there's no, and this is where you have to test everything to the Word of God, if there's no example of it in the Word of God, if it's not how the church is set up in the New Testament body, I want you to go into the scriptures and test it.
Yeah.
And make sure it's in the truth, because
one more?
If there's no outline
in scripture,
I'm just
curious, because you remind me of my pastor,
right?
Because no matter what you ask him, his answers are always rooted with what the Word of God says, what
right,
the Bible says, right?
Well, that's the only thing we stand on. Jesus Christ said, "We live by every word out of the mouth of God."
Yeah, sure, yep. Because I remember I asked him a couple times, and he's like, "Well, no matter what you tell us about us, we are hiring at my company someone that's gay."
Right.
Which, you know, to each your own, it's your soul to carry. I don't agree with it, you know, but
well,
I'm not going to go running around yelling at people. He said, well, you got to ask yourself, because they know that I'm openly Christian.
Yeah.
And he always just says, well, it all depends on what answer or truth you're looking for. Everything I do is rooted in the Bible.
Right.
So they might be rooted in culture. Culture accepts it.
Oh, yeah.
To them, it's okay. He said, to me, it's not. God made one man and one woman.
Yeah. I mean, amen to that. But test yourself as well. I mean, you said... They're part
no,
of the,
I'm just asking it,
well,
you
yeah, yeah, yeah,
very smart about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd love to chat with you than chat
oh,
with
yeah,
you.
Yeah. I would love for you to chat with my elder. He's actually been at this a longer time than I have. He has all these articles on his website you can check out.
Yeah,
but
sure,
he'd love to get on a phone call with you, or like chat over email, whatever you want, because we want you to go deep in the truth, because the church systems, I know you said they follow the culture with like the gay pastors, gay priests, that kind of a thing.
But
But I want you to test yourself, go deeper. Are you following the culture today in the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you associate? I want you to test yourself, because the Lord actually told us how to dress in Genesis 3.
Really?
It never changed. Yeah. He actually shed blood in Genesis 3. Actually, Adam and Eve tried to clothe themselves with leaves.
Right.
It didn't really work too well because it didn't cover up enough. So God actually shed blood of an animal. It's actually an archetype for Jesus Christ covering us in blood. But he clothed us in animal skins. He made coats of animal skins to cover up our form, to not show off our private parts, because he knows that there's a proclivity to lust now.
Oh, yeah.
He wants us to cover up.
Oh, yeah.
And the culture has got it so messed up that it keeps hiking up. Now men are tucking their shirts in so they can show off their crotch and their butt.
Oh, wow.
It's not okay. And I want you to test yourself. You have to come out of how you dress, how you talk, how you act, because how are we going to pull people out of the culture if we look exactly like them? If we talk exactly like them? We have to be separate, holy, and set apart. So test yourself, go deeper. Thanks for talking with me today. It's awesome that you're a hearer, a listener of truth, because not many people are.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's a lot easier to walk by than chit-chat with you. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I've been a Christian my whole life since I was baptized, but here recently, I've actually, you know, been reading the Bible every day, trying to get in the Word, start my mornings with it, and I've been doing the Celebrate Recovery.
Okay.
So it's just cool to talk with you, man.
Yeah, Jesus Christ said he'll give the Holy Spirit to whosoever obeys him in Acts 5. Make sure you're obeying Jesus Christ, not just reading the scriptures. It's important to come out of your sin. We're supposed to flee sin, because if you stood before a righteous judge tonight, tomorrow, whenever you're going to die, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is he going to look at you and say, I see that you're striving against sin. I see that you're trying to leave sin. Or is he going to say to you, away from me, I never knew you, ye worker of iniquity. You held on to your sin.
Yeah.
So make sure you're coming out of it. We care for your soul. We'll help you in truth.
All right. God bless you.
Yep. Well, that was a really good conversation. He was a hearer.
Yeah, I saw you had an audio. That's awesome, brother. Yeah, he's listening.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Hopefully he reaches out. He's